next item.
Item 98, accept bid of Moore Excavation, Inc. for the Woodlawn King Alley Sewer Rehabilitation Project for $3,984,902.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. I would like to request a motion to amend the impact statement for this item. There was an error in the awarded bid amount. It should read $3,491,386.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. On November 22nd, 2016, three bids were received, and Moore Excavation is the low bidder. The engineer's estimate on this project was $3,843,503. The Bureau of Environmental Services has reviewed the bid items and accepts the proposed pricing as good. The city put forward an aspirational goal for DMWESB subcontractor and supplier utilization at 20% of the hard construction costs for this project. Moore Excavation identified five divisions of work for subcontracting opportunities with participation at 4.1% or $142,328, with work being performed in trucking, concrete cutting, traffic control, and manhole manufacturing.
Thank you. Could I take care of the amendment first, please? Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Could you call the roll?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. So now we're discussing the item as amended. Is there any further question of Christine before we go to public testimony?
Thank you. Your report, as always, it's very clear. Disadvantaged business enterprise was kind of a new term to me. Can you explain to the folks at home and what you told my staff about what is a disadvantaged business enterprise?
Sure, Commissioner. The disadvantaged business enterprise is a federal certification. It is still run through the Oregon Certification Office, but it has more stringent requirements to obtain that certification. So most commonly, that certification contains minority businesses and women-owned businesses. And so with our subcontractor equity program, we now include disadvantaged business enterprises as part of meeting those contractor goals.
I also have a question.
Oh, go ahead. I'll take interns.
Okay. So we've set an aspirational goal. Obviously, that means that it's not required. Do we get any kind of report back on whether that goal was met or what level they achieved?
So, yes, we have the aspirational goal of 20%. Moore Excavation is committing to 4.1% on this project.
Okay.
So this company has been here before and often has a very low participation of minority disadvantaged businesses. Do we know how they're doing it with their own internal equity program? Is their workforce diversifying at all?
Let me, I believe Matt Posey is in the audience for Moore Excavation.
Coming up, sir.
Gary Stevens, I'm
Gary,
sorry.
Gary, if you could just state your name for the record, please.
Morning, I'm Gary Stevens. I'm the Chief Operations Manager for Moore Excavation. We've been in business since 1957. We do a lot of work for the city. I've been in this seat before on projects. As Christine mentioned, the aspirational goal of 20% is an aspirational goal. However, you've got to realize that each project that is designed and put out for solicitation varies in design and complexity and what's available for the minority contracting community to bid on. This project, we identified seven areas that could be subcontracted out. Out of those, and we go through a solicitation. Are you familiar with the Good Faith program where we go through? So we go through, we go attend the pre-bid meeting. Out of the 20-odd people that attended for the pre-bid meeting, there was only one minority contractor attend, which is not unusual. Once we go to the pre-bid meeting, our contract staff goes through the good faith process, notifies everybody in writing, all the minority, potential minority contractors and not non-minority contractors via email. And then we follow up, we take an extra step. We actually call verbally the offices to make sure they're bidding. That has mixed success. Sometimes we get no replies, sometimes we do. But at the end of the day, on bid day, we're getting bids from all contractors, all subcontractors. And in this case, out of the seven categories that we identified, we got pricing from all seven categories. But the two categories, and we awarded subcontracting subcontracts to five out of the seven. The two that we did not award to were the cured-in-place lining, the pipe that essentially has the sock and is cured in place rather than open cutting a trench. You understand? I mean, the normal way is just to open cut, put in take out the existing pipe if needed, put in a new pipe, backfill, traffic control, paving, trucking, and all of that. Where the cured-in-place program is, we essentially access the pipeline from manholes, actually install a sock, if you will, and cure it in place, and that lines the existing pipe and gives additional length of service to the pipe. Well, that one category, we received a minority price that was 30% higher, over 200 and some odd thousand, than the other low responsive bidder. And in paving, our price versus minority versus non-minority was 46% higher. So if you're in the bid room the day of the bid, and the bid's due, and you're looking at a $260,000 increase to be able to up the price, my fiduciary responsibility is, number one, get the job for the owner of our company and employ our people, and give a responsible bid to the city. So we did receive quotes in those other two categories, be it cured-in-place lining and paving, but to the tune of $260,000 additional dollars.
Well, thank you very much for that extended explanation. It seems to me in reading it that this, you have maybe even reserved the right to do some of the minority work that you have contracted out by your own company. Is that correct?
We on the forms, we put partial because we ran into the problems, Commissioner, where we've, like for trucking and or flagging, where we have contracts and we've committed an amount, but when we schedule those minority contractors, they don't have resources available. Maybe because they're bidding other work to other contractors too. So for that day or those days, they may not have trucks. So we have to supply our own trucks. So that's why we put partial on those.
So Ms. Moody, could you at the end of the project come back to council and let us know whether in fact that was done? My question earlier though is, what are you doing within your company to diversify your workforce? Do you offer apprenticeships to?
Yes. Oh, yes, by all means.
And how much of that do you do?
We have 20% on our projects. We have 20% apprenticeship for both operators and laborers. And more times than not, we exceed that. And in fact, I was looking at those reports this morning, and some categories were up over 40% apprenticeship.
And how do you find those apprentices?
Well, two ways. We see put the potential in existing employees that could use additional training and increase their capabilities. And so we select those and we promote those to the Northwest Construction College. That's who we have our training through. And we, on the open market, we just solicit for operators, laborers, truck drivers, et cetera.
So what is your company doing to diversify your own workforce and to make sure that women and minorities get the opportunity for some of those apprenticeships?
We actively solicit for minority employees. Right now, I believe we're at about 12 to 14% minority and about 8% women.
I'm glad to hear that. So again, and you do a lot of work for the city, and I appreciate that. And you're often the low bidder, which again saves the taxpayers and the ratepayers money. It's also a value that I'm sure you share, to try to diversify, particularly construction workforce, because women and minorities are realizing that they are good jobs that pay well. So I do encourage you to continue working within your company, and then I'd like to get a report back on this particular project. If you could keep track of, you know, the apprentices, kind of where they came from and their demographics.
Yeah, Christine and her group keeps a their thumb on us. Very, very good.
Thank you.
One other thing that we have the potential of adding, there is a service group that was within our company that split off at year end that now is applying as a woman-owned business as an ESB as of January 1st. And if that is successful, the ESB percentage for this project will be in excess of 40%.
Fabulous. Thank you.
So we are actively pursuing. And we're also a member of the Northwest Utility Contractors Association, which actively works with Christine and her group on ways to promote minority participations. And we have some things in the mix right now that we're working on. So,
well, that's terrific. Thank you. Thank you for your time being here this morning to explain. Thank you.
If I may just make a couple of thoughts here. And I appreciate your being here and answering the questions with specificity. As I hear the broad variation in the bid offers that you've received, I'm wondering if economies of scale have something to do with it. And so we're in sort of a catch-22, where we're trying to build the capacity of minority contractors in Portland, and you understand all the reasons why we want to do that. But if we don't help them get to the point where they can actually compete, they're never going to get the job. And so my interest, Christine, and this is a separate conversation maybe, but related, I want to know how we're going to work with the PDC and others to make sure that minority contractors can actually get to the point where they can compete based on price. Because I don't want the excuse to always be that, well, they're too expensive. But if they're too expensive because of economies or, you know, access to equipment or whatever else, they're never going to get these projects, and they're never going to be able to participate at the levels that I think they need to. Number two, you mentioned that you did a pretty good job of reaching out to those individuals. You called them. You encouraged them to bid. I'm more interested in why they didn't bid. If the opportunity is there, I think it would be interesting to do some, I hate to use the word post-mortem, but I guess that's what I mean, and find out what it was that prevented them from making the decision to bid in the first place, because maybe there's some capacity building or some preliminary work we need to do with minority contractors so that they are ready to bid when the time comes for a project like this. And finally, I just want to cop to something. You said, did we all understand the difference between whatever it was, the external versus the sleeve thing? I want to be the first to admit, I had no idea what you were talking about until you described it.
Okay.
But it makes sense the way you describe it, and so I appreciate you're not assuming that I know everything about replacing a sewer pipe, because I most certainly know nothing about it. So thank you for that.
May I make a couple of comments?
Yes.
You hit on a couple of things. Our work is capital intensive, very capital intensive, and it is somewhat restrictive for minorities to be able to do some of our scopes of work, if you will. The low-hanging fruit is flagging, which there's not much capital investment, but then the next step is like trucking. Well, you have to buy trucks or lease trucks, but then when you get into the heavy equipment and that kind of stuff, it's really capital intensive, where if you have a vertical structure, like we're participating in the new Multnomah County Courthouse, you have a structure, there's more opportunities for minority contractors, if you will, in a what we call vertical construction coming out of the ground, be it painting, sheetrock, that kind of stuff. But in our world, it's real limited, and it always has been, and it's been a struggle to gain additional participations. And some of these people might only have one crew, but they're quoting 10 contractors in different projects, if you will. So that becomes an internal capacity problem for them to be able to meet our schedule, our demands, and so it is a challenge for them to be able to participate in this heavy construction market.
I do get that. I'm not in any way saying I don't understand the pressure from the market side and the capital expenditure side and the access to capital side. I just think there's ways we can break that down.
Okay.
And can maybe I follow
maybe
up
it's,
on that?
In one moment. Chris, I mean, maybe it's through partnerships. You know, and I've seen success. You know, TriMet's done a lot of work where you know, some of the more established contractors actually partner with smaller minority contractors, and they share equipment, they share services, they share knowledge. And just, you know, looking out 25 years at the capital construction industry, you know, somebody once told me sort of off the cuff, do I really want to help and invest in my future competition? You know, the industry and the opportunities are growing at a rapid clip, and frankly, we're going to need more local capacity. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're going to continue to be bringing people from the outside for these projects. And that means we're leaving money on the table that could be going to help lift communities in Portland that have historically not benefited from the wealth generation that these projects provide. And I really want us to rethink how we do that. I think we need to be more intentional.
Mayor, can I just follow up with Christine for a sec?
And then Christine had something to say, too.
Ms. Moody, as I listen to this conversation, I'm reminded that we've actually had some success in the housing area precisely because of some of the points that the mayor just made. We have major contractors that have formed strategic partnerships with minority businesses and bid as a partnership. And the importance of that is that with each of those projects, the minority partner gets to develop capacity and expertise and other things. And I think the success story really is Colas Construction. Colas used to be a sub, consistently a sub in lots of projects. Now they are a general contractor. And if you look around the city, the Colas sign is everywhere, meaning they're now finally competing on a level playing field, and they're getting opportunities. And I wonder, in light of the comments you're hearing, we've thought this through in the housing arena, and we now have these partnerships, and we have regular work, which is important. It's not just one-off, because if you're building a business, you have to know that there's lots of opportunity if you're going to expand your payroll. Are there lessons we can learn from how we've addressed housing that could apply to this kind of specialty work, including, as the mayor suggested, partnerships?
Yes, Commissioner. Thank you for bringing that up. I think one thing that we can do that has been successful in housing and can be successful in these types of projects is looking at other types of procurement methods like alternative contracting. We've done it on some of the larger reservoir projects. I think we can look at it on some of the sewer projects. When we have that alternative contracting method and we're not basing everything on lowest bid, it gives the opportunity for contractors like Moore Excavation or other contractors to do that partnership so that they can bring those contractors in and they can actually partner on a project.
Well, and let's just because you said that, the alternative contracting in the reservoir, like the Washington Park Reservoir Project, did not result in a hit to the taxpayers. We're still getting competitive bids. What it does allow us to do is on a regular basis work with the contractor to make sure that we hit very high aspirational goals. In fact, aspirational goals that are higher than we normally have in these projects. So,
and there's opportunities for us to put in with our bid specifications additional points for a partnering. We've done that on some parks projects, and we've had some really good results where a general contractor will partner with a minority contractor, and they will take pieces of that project and act both as generals and manage that. And that's that capacity building that the mayor was talking about.
Last question, though. We expect to get a report soon from the Office of Equity in terms of community benefit plans and a new vision for how we do community benefit agreements. Will part of that presentation address some of the issues we're discussing today?
I think in part it will address that. I think the other piece that I liked, one of the ideas that the mayor suggested as far as looking, as Gary was saying, for these types of projects, these sewer projects, there's a large capital outlay in equipment for contractors. They are minority contractors, have the skill level to do it, and they will invest in that equipment if they know that there's continued work to come on. They can't invest in a $300,000 piece of equipment for one job. And so part of that is, as Gary mentioned, we're partnering with the Underground Utility Contractors Association to figure out about those partnering opportunities. If they know that there's continued work, they will make that investment, but they can't make that kind of investment for a job every 6 to 9 months. And so those are the types of things that we're, I like the idea of the sharing of equipment. And so it's building that skill level, not having to have that minority contractor put that capital outlay out at the very offset.
Well, one thing we do know is that on a regular basis, we have these projects, and whether they're pump stations or sewer rehabilitation or whatever, we have aging infrastructure, and so this is going to happen a lot. And I would encourage you to consider bundling a number of these things, looking at the CIP with the utilities, looking for a sequence of projects that have some common denominators, and thinking about how we could bid them precisely to give someone an opportunity to bid for the whole package. Since and it is true that Moore often does our work, and they do excellent work, but in fact that presents an opportunity for some continuity of employment. So we look forward to working with the mayor and procurement on that, and we hope that this is also looked at through the community benefit plan update that we're going to get.
Yes.
Great. Any further board questions before we go to testimony? Is there any public testimony on this issue?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anybody you'd like to testify?
I would like.
Very good. You can sit down, I think.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for being here. And if you could just state your name for the record, 3 minutes, please keep it relevant to this particular item.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. One of the things that I thought about, and I like to commend Commissioner Fritz, because she asked a lot of questions that were bugging me also as the presentation progressed. There were two things that I thought of. I wish there was an organization that represents minority contractors here today to answer the question that you pose. You know, why is the percentage so low, and why do they not bid on these things? Now, we can speculate, but we always done that. And the second thing that struck me is that we are always working in the future. It seems that we never get the job done in the present. You know, it's always going to be better next month. Oh, we're working on it. Oh, we're trying to get some partnerships going here. Well, partnerships are not a new thing. Commissioner Fish actually presented what they did in housing. Very simple. When they were building the pyramids, they partnered. You know, it's not a new concept. So why aren't we doing it? My third point is, what is the city's responsibility to see on these prime contractors when they subcontract out? Where are you guys on that? You know, you're going to pass this because you just pass things. That's what you do. All right. Instead of kicking it back and saying, you know what? We need some more research on this. We want to find out. This is a major repair job by a major company, and I'm sure the representative from Moore Inc. is really a nice guy. But if we had somebody from the minority community sitting here explaining it to you, I think you would get a better answer. If you ask me about certain things, my biases come through. All right? So we need to hear from the other side. And that's what I would ask you. I don't have a great interest in this one item, but what you said is true. There's a lot of items coming up, and you should do better. It's our money, and you guys got to look at it and say, what is this prime contractor doing? How is he doing on minorities? I don't like 8% and 14%. That's not acceptable to me, because we have a lot of catching up to do. So 8 and 14 is a disgrace, as far as I'm concerned. My opinion.
Thank you. Thank you.
Star Stoffer, you guys are getting to know me pretty well. I have the same concerns that Joe does, that a bunch of, I'm just going to be blunt, white people are sitting around talking about what's best for a minority community without a minority community representative. That's extremely offensive, especially when you're talking about doing work within the same community. I'm curious why, if they're having a hard time receiving bids from minority communities who are doing the same type of work, why have they not gone out into those communities and offered a fair, so to speak, a fair to come and hear about the project so that they can introduce their particular companies and Glad Hand and network and meet up with each other and talk about...
The city does.
You know, well, I'm talking these guys specifically, this company.
The procurement office does extensive work.
Well, they're obviously not doing it enough, because if at 14%, as far as their minority workers go, that's... The number of minorities in this community alone that do that type of work far exceeds that number. So if that's the case, if you are doing these fairs, if you are doing these outreach programs, they're not good enough. And you have to readdress how you're communicating with these communities. And the fact of the matter is that these communities are not going to be trusting enough to openly communicate with you on these issues if it's all white people doing the communication, just like we saw up here today. And I think we all know why that might be. So if you want real change, if you really want to increase the minorities on this workforce and in this bidding process and in these projects, then you need to have more minority representatives than just a woman, a white woman, sitting up here talking for them. The fact is, minorities are tired for white people talking for them. So fix it.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, and I'll try and talk for white people. We created the problem, so we can talk some about ideas we have to fix and then hope that we can do better at getting input from minorities. The city likes to see itself in a leadership position, and as Commissioner Fish noted, through the Office of Procurement and probably also with some collaboration from Dante and the Office of Equity and Human Rights, there has been some number of hours and outreach work done to improve the minority contractor thing, but I think we haven't really talked about capitalizing on that position. You know, the Northwest, the demographic makeup is different than other parts of the country. And now, while Kashama Sawant in Portland, and they're talking about divesting from Wells Fargo, we should also be talking about having a dynamic conversation across the state line with our partners all the way up to Seattle, maybe even Vancouver, about how the Northwest is going to implement plans, including having, you know, perhaps trade shows or forums at the Expo Center, or, you know, recently this community has voted to put money into the area around Legacy Emanuel Hospital, where there was gentrification and displacement. So perhaps Legacy's conference facilities would be glad to have a Northwest-wide conference on equity in business, and how minority contractors are going to get fair treatment, not just from the state and local governmental jurisdictions, but ways that the city can make sure that not only is Bremick or another general contractor, I can't remember who's going to get the hundreds of million dollars for the Portland building if we don't stop that, but that those contractors have incentives in as many tax structures as possible. Fees from different bureaus, state things, so that they're always aggressively not just tokenizing things, but making sure that the pathways are there for all people of all backgrounds in Portland to learn sustainable living wage careers. And so I think there's a great opportunity for this council to partner with other local and state governments to do some leadership in that area. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there any more testimony on this item? Any further discussion from my colleagues? Could I get a motion
so
and
moved.
A second?
Second.
And that's to accept the report as amended. Please call the roll.
Fritz?
Well, this has been an excellent discussion, and obviously we'll soon be getting the report from the Office of Equity and Human Rights. And I know that Mayor Wheeler is committed to this process and understands how much work has been done and how much work needs to be done with the Equitable Contracting and Procurement Commission. There are community organizations that Director Moody, I get your title wrong, but Ms. Moody's team does a lot of outreach and a lot of listening, and of course we all need to do a lot more of both. So thank you for this excellent discussion. Aye.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, this was a good discussion. I want to thank More Excavation for providing insights and very solid answers as to how they arrived at their figures for minority and women participation. You gave us some really insights, I think, into how the real world operates, and I appreciate that very much. Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
I appreciated this conversation very much, and I appreciated the public testimony as well. We need to find ways to be proactive. One of the people testifying said we have a lot to make up for, and I happen to agree with that. And we're in a building boom right now. This is our opportunity to build up knowledge, on-the-ground experience, and access to capital that is required to be able to compete in what will be one of our top two growth industries in this community in the next 25 years. So I appreciate the comments that were made all around. The report is